Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 43, Episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist for Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Happy 14-year anniversary of the time the Dave Matthews Band tour bus emptied its septic tank while crossing a bridge in Chicago, dumping 800 pounds of human waste onto people on an architectural tour boat right underneath them. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hack O'Spion, courtesy of Hachimoto, on Twitter, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
And Miles here every day. Talk about the news, and Miles thinks the Zeitgang is the greatest crew, but I can't host for Jack, no can do.
Okay, so that's a little Hall & Oates action for you from Cody Frisbee at CDY on Twitter. And if you know anything about me, I'm a massive Hall & Oates fan. And I'm typically one of the youngest, drunkest people at the very front of the stage at most of their shows. So,
oh, really?
Thank you.
You go see them live?
I follow them, yes.
Damn.
I've been to, you know, been to Daryl Hall's house before.
That AKA had, like, the structure of a good mystery where I didn't know what it was until the very end. And
thank
then
you
revealed it by singing
damn,
the...
that was that bad. Okay, well, that's fine.
I'm also just not as big a Hall & Oates fan.
Well, you got to get in the game, man. You're a 30-something-year-old white guy. You don't like Hall & Oates?
I know. What's wrong with me? We are thrilled to be joined for the first time in our third seat by the hilarious and gifted comedian, Hatsuko Okatsuka.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
Hello.
How are you? I'm good. Yeah.
We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you for coming. I'm trying to think if we've ever had a Japanese guest on. Not, it's been too long. I've been holding it down for the Japanese people on this podcast, so I'm very excited. When I saw you coming, I was like, I've been meaning to meet you.
I'm only half. I hope that doesn't
matter. Well, I'm half too, so we make one whole.
Oh my God.
So we're all good.
What a blessing.
Yeah, it's really a blessing.
What a blessing.
100%.
Here we are, you know, how many years after World War II? We're making things right.
Yeah.
And a full Japanese person on a podcast. How about that, guys? Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first we like to tell our listeners what they're in store for, in addition to learning that it's the anniversary of that Dave Matthews.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Going back
you're
to that.
Going to,
they literally emptied all their shit onto
their
a boat.
Shit over a bridge onto a full tour boat of people. And so just all 800 pounds, a couple months of Dave Matthews' literal shit just landed on the head of a bunch of people who are in Chicago on an architectural
lucky.
Tour.
Lucky.
Just all-time
so lucky.
Great moments in American history.
I didn't know that even happened, so it's good to know.
Yeah. Shout out to Chicago. great city to visit. We're going to talk about climate change and just what it's doing in addition to creating the largest wildfire in California history. And then to put out that fire, we're going to talk about a soothing blue wave that is starting to come into view. We are going to talk about the GOP Swamp Boys. And just all the rampant corruption that is just sort of falling out of the Trump administration and the GOP these days. We're going to talk about how these three random Mar-a-Lago rich guys are secretly running the VA, even though they have like no association with it at all.
It's okay. And they're Mar-a-Lago members, so.
We're going to talk about that in association with Trump's golf game, which is a thing we should actually be worried about, how much he's golfing and with whom. We are going to talk about the new Oscars, you guys. They have buckled to pressure in the worst way possible, it would seem. We don't know all the details, but we're going to speculate that it's really bad. we're going to talk about Goldberg from Mighty Ducks. If you haven't seen the picture, do yourself a... the opposite of a favor and go check it out just because
it's heartbreaking.
It is. And finally, we're going to speculate about whether the Mamma Mia universe secretly takes place in purgatory. But first, we like to ask our guest, Atsuko, is there something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Right. I think it was Jason Momoa last. Just his name.
Yeah.
And Aquaman.
Okay. And just because he looks good as Aquaman?
Yeah.
Or awful?
No, he looks good. He looks good. I didn't know. You know, sometimes you don't know, you know, subconsciously who you might find attractive or what, you know, really gets you excited. And he was one of those. I saw him in the poster for Aquaman, and I think I dropped my phone immediately.
I have to say, I always bring him up as the most impressive famous person to see in person, just because he is as impressive in all the ways he's impressive on screen. In person, he's like a huge dude with all those tattoos and
animal magnetism.
Highly recommend stalking him. He's also really easy to find.
I think I got excited that there was like a water, you know, men and water theme, you know, with Shape of Water.
Yeah.
And then Aquaman, you know, just can you imagine going on a casual swim and Jason Momoa shows up?
Right.
I would drown. You know what I mean? And like.
Well, he would save you. And then that would be the beginning of your relationship.
Underwater love.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's, you know, I mean, that's assuming he's interested too, you know.
But. I think. Well, have you seen the trailer for Aquaman?
I actually didn't get there.
Oh yeah,
I got.
You just saw the poster. You're like, what is this?
I got searching to. Well, what other poses, you know, are there of him in this outfit?
Yes.
So I never got to the trailer.
In his like scaly pants or whatever those are.
Yes.
Is it jeans? I don't know. What kind of pants is he wearing?
Yeah, they are sort of like they look jeany.
Denim-y.
And then there's some leather too, going on.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that works underwater.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, that's why I asked if you saw the trailer, because there's a lot of like movement shots under the water that I'm like, people, that doesn't look like people moving underwater. Right. It just sort of looks like there are bubbles around, so they're calling it under the sea.
Right.
But it was
everybody's moving like it's just
on land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like even their hair, like, you know, it was.
Oh, it's
whatever.
A trick.
You know, it's fine though. We're here to see Jason Momoa either way.
Right.
Totally. I know I am.
Yeah.
Have you watched Game of Thrones? Do you know his work from Game of Thrones?
I do know his work. And then I found out like he got the role by doing a haka in the audition. There were no lines or anything. He just did a haka.
Yeah.
And so I was like, cool, way to represent.
Yeah.
Now, I know what a haka is, but for our listeners, what is that?
That's like the Kiwi New Zealand Maori war dance.
Yeah, war cry. Yeah.
Dope.
And so, like, yeah, they get super pumped up and very, this primal energy of, like, you know, I can see, as an audition for a character who doesn't speak English.
Right.
And is just, like, running around with the, what the fuck are they all called?
A horse?
Nah.
Oh, which was a horse?
What's that crew called that she, Khaleesi be fucking with?
Yeah.
Oh,
yo, they're going to take, they're going to take my fucking Game of Thrones pass from me.
Shoot. People. You're talking about his people?
The Dothraki. Thank you, super producer Nick Stump, back from vacation. Yes, the Nick Dothraki. Stump. So yeah, of course, like, because you're speaking made up language, you might as well just show, like, I can emote, like, this sort of, this king of...
Right.
The Dothraki.
Mm. Yeah. Totally. It's, yeah, it's beautiful. They do it before, like, football games.
Yeah.
At weddings. It's very emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, like, you're starting to see, what movie was I seeing where there were, like, kids doing it? Or, like, it's like, starting to get into, like, our culture. And I don't know if people are, like, appropriating it. And I'm like.
It was a lot when neo-Nazis already marched with tiki torches, and it was like, can you imagine if they did a haka too? To just stay, you know what I mean? They were like, at least we're doing it correctly.
Right.
You know, like Polynesian, we got it.
That's the detail they nail.
They're like, tiki torches, guys, this wouldn't be right without doing the haka. It feels bad.
Asuka, what is something that is overrated in your opinion?
I think actually juice bars. I know that people might be upset about that.
Upset them. Who cares? It's juice. If you're getting that upset about juice.
I have beef with most people who work at juice bars.
Yeah.
I don't know. How about you? Do you juice? I don't juice necessarily,
no.
But when I...
I mean, I was taking some steroids.
But, yeah.
But no, juicing, no, juice. Like making it at home, nah.
Making I don't like juice as a verb, personally.
No.
Unless it's
no, I know.
Steroids.
It's become a verb. And then, when, you know, some of the stuff helps to clear my sinuses, so I've become a believer and I go by. But then... The ones you just drink to, like, get nutrients through the day or whatever. I don't understand, like, the meaning of it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just overpriced, typically,
overpriced.
Where it's like, I'm paying $8 for a bottle of, like, broken down kale and other stuff.
Totally.
Where I'm like, I get the health hook for people that, like, well, see, it's just that. It's very clean, and that's all I'm getting.
Right.
But then the economics of it, I can't get on board with. I'm like, $8 for that, though.
I know. I saw my grandma going into a juice bar when she was waiting for me, and she thought I wasn't there yet. And so she went, and she came out with this, like, crazy, like, brain moon powder juice mix. And she was so upset that it was $12, but she needed to use the restroom. And so they charged her for, you know, and she was like, I'll buy something. But it was, for an immigrant, it's like, still like witchy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, what happened to orange juice?
You know?
Right.
Or apple juice?
No, we're straight on the vegetable green juice train now.
Right.
Wait, when you say have beef, the people that work there, like, so you pull up to a juice spot, you're like, what's up, dork?
Just generally don't.
Give me a cup of water for free. No, I'm out this bitch.
It's me just gritting my teeth and being like, yeah, I'm going to buy one, but like, So
your relationship is still like, I still buy them.
They're
I just
assholes.
Hate that I buy them.
I don't know why they're always like attitude-y, you know?
Do people give you attitude?
They give me attitude because I have questions.
Oh, right.
Because I always think maybe I'm going to try something new. I always... end up with the same one, but they hate it when you have questions. They're like, well, you should know. You don't know moon powder? Brain juice?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, what is that?
Moon juice is a
brand, right?
An actual brand out here that I think I went to like when it was just one little stand in Santa Monica, and it was like $15 for an almond milk that I, when they told me that, I already had like put my mouth on the straw, and so
don't take back.
I was amazed, and then I was like, "Well, good luck with that business model, assholes!" And now it's like huge. Everybody does moon juice, and I think Goop got involved. So
because it's all about adaptogenic nutrients, is
right?
What they keep wow.
Just in general, when it comes to fruit juice, like we think it comes from fruit, it's healthy. It's just sugar water for the most part. I mean, the healthy thing about fruit is the fiber and getting the fiber
and just pressing
fruit juice
all the flavor
is just getting
out.
All the flavor and
it's
all
just flavor.
The fiber out of it. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that mad. To be honest, you know, but
yeah,
no, fuck juice.
No, fuck juice. Fuck people who drink juice. And yeah. Shout out to Juice too, also.
It's right. Just the cashiers. Because I know there are people working hard juicing it in the back.
Right, right, right.
Those
right.
aren't the people that get to ring you up.
Right.
Oh, that, you think there's like sweatshop labor going on in the back?
Or I seen it.
Yeah,
where the cashier wasn't there, the hipster wasn't there to ring me up. So I was like, mm-hmm. where is she? Her only job is to just press a button and say it's $12.
Right, right.
And so the immigrant in the back who was making all the juices, breaking his back to make these, it's not easy. You
Holy
know,
shit.
It's the machine's intense. Tense and like it vibrates and you have all these bulky vegetables he's working hard. He came up to the cash register and rang me up and I was like, well, why don't we just pay him extra to do the cashier too, so I can do less with the attitude of the girl being like, you don't know what cayenne does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh my, yeah.
And she was gone. Anyhow, I'm done.
Yeah
we're
he
done.
Can't explain how it aligns your chakras though.
I tipped does him
I don't know.
What is something you think is underrated?
Paddington.
Oh yeah,
Paddington Bear.
Everyone loves Paddington. The movie specifically, or just the whole universe of Paddington?
The movie, especially Paddington 2. I know it's been a while, but I think about it often, and how, to be honest, not a lot of people saw it. I feel like
a lot of comedians, a lot of our guests have come in.
Yeah,
and
have
been
seen
like,
it.
Yo, have you seen Paddington 2?
Yeah,
like everyone. So
oh,
at least in, and it could just be the LA media bubble where people are, you know, tend to see more movies.
Yeah.
But I've heard that so many times that I started watching it on the plane and fell asleep, but I'm going to watch the whole thing because I was actually really kind of drawn in by the whole thing.
Yeah. I think there's something too, like talking bears. I don't know. I mean, talking bears in London, touching the hearts of people. I mean, with Winnie the Pooh, I don't know. They've got something going on this year.
But whereas Paddington is a real bear, Winnie the Pooh is just some fucking toy that Christopher Robin is like, yo, you're alive.
Paddington 2 is about undocumented immigrants.
Right, because he come from like Peru or something, right?
Yeah, and seeking refuge.
So domestically, Paddington 2 made $40 million.
Okay.
But in foreign markets, it made $186 million. So
there you go.
It was a huge hit, but America slept on it a little bit. And yes, I hear that it's like the greatest movie.
It's kind of what Zootopia did for me too.
Yeah. Right.
Like supposedly really maybe kid-friendly movies.
Right.
Really just packing in a lot of messages.
Yeah, right, right, right.
While being really entertaining.
Nice.
But I don't know. I'm so predictable. I'm just a basic bitch.
No. Did you just see Paddington?
What do you hate, Juice? What do you like, Paddington?
Yeah.
Those are not predictable.
Underrated, though, pumpkin spice lattes. And Uggs. Okay, I'm done.
What is a myth, finally? What is something that most people think is true that you know to be false? Or vice versa.
Oh, it sucks because, you know, I have this joke where I'm trying to figure out why, you know, the battle against gluten. I keep losing a lot of friends to it. But you know, a lot of my white friends to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I talk about how, you know, maybe white people are still evolving because there's constantly new things they can't eat anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? My husband goes through this. Like every day there's a new thing he can't eat anymore. But I'm like, you're 40. What do you mean you're still changing? And I'm like, maybe white people are evolving, you know? But then I just found out my grandma is actually gluten-free.
Oh, wow.
Like 2 days ago.
She said, I'm done. I'm off the gluten.
The doctors told her she can't eat gluten anymore at 83 years old.
How'd you get to 83 eating all that fucking gluten, though?
That's what I'm
saying.
And now
they're like, well, now you got to cook. Wait, does she have a specific condition where they're trying to tie it to?
She had a hard time breathing, and then she was in the hospital. She just got released last night. But she thought it was her heart. Like, she couldn't breathe, chest pains. And so they checked her heart, and everything was fine with her heart. And then they were like, I think it's your stomach. And then they were like, I think it's gluten. And I was like, you cannot tell.
Yeah, that's a jump.
Oh, right. My God.
Was her doctor the woman who worked at the juice place?
I will cut a bitch. It was her. And
she's like, do you know what cayenne does
disguise?
For you?
I'll be like, here's $12.
So I just got off of a gluten-free pasta. I was only eating gluten-free pasta for a while because you don't feel full afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I think my problem is I just eat too much pasta when I eat pasta, maybe.
Okay.
But I realized that it's just not as good. And so I just had like normal pasta again for the first time on Sunday night. And I was like, holy shit, this is so much better.
Just a high.
Like the other thing just like breaks apart the gluten-free pasta.
Wait, I have a question though. So they were thinking that because she was having a hard time digesting gluten, that was reverberating into her chest and like breathing, like
that's
like causing respiratory issues,
fatigue. You know, apparently gluten causes fatigue and sometimes like inflammatory
things.
And so somehow they're saying for now, until we find out more results, that's what you got to cut out.
Wow.
Which is like, you know, the for her that was the American dream, being able to eat bread
gluten,
all the time. You know?
So, yeah, no.
Kind of a bummer.
We've got complex microbiomes going on in our stomachs that get fucked up by all sorts of things.
Yeah, gluten doesn't discriminate.
Right.
No, turns it doesn't. It's so colorblind.
It's more about like what I thought was a myth becoming true, maybe.
Right. Shit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, a lot of people that I know who like eat gluten-free, they look very healthy already.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, what?
They're always so positive, too.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, cool. Like, you know, I'm not going to knock anybody for wanting to control their diet. But I'm also looking like, you look very healthy. So I'm not sure where the dysfunction is. Like, I would get this intestinal swelling
right
here. And I'm like, you have a fucking six pack. Like, what are you saying? But, you know, if it does make you feel lighter, then so be it. I noticed that with red meat, though, too, for sure. Like, when I stopped eating red meat more and more, like, I realize how less I get the itis from digesting it, because it just zaps all your energy to just try and digest all that red meat. But gluten, we're still homies.
So are all these people just living with like severe IBS their whole lives and then just were like, finally I figured it out?
I feel like I've met people who have, who clearly like, no, this has actually helped me. And then, you know, some people just do it because it, they think it's healthy. Or I'm sure it is in some level, but
totally. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that is what my grandma had. She constantly had to use the restroom for 83 years.
Holy shit.
And then she was like, no, it's just me.
Did she just I've done something
it's
wrong.
It's genes. It's genes. Yeah.
Does she feel like a lot better now that she's off gluten?
It's been a day. So we'll see. Yeah.
All right. We'll check back in with your grandma at a future date. All right, guys. We wanted to check in with the microbiome around us. I guess it's not a microbiome.
Macro.
The bio. The macrobiome.
It's a biodome. It's a biodome, really.
So California is currently engulfed by the biggest wildfire in its history.
Yeah.
The area that's on fire is currently the size of Los Angeles. Pretty big city. And we've mentioned before that in addition to being caused by climate change, these wildfires, they contribute to climate change because, you know, a city the size of Los Angeles, LA's car emissions are famous villains in the like CO2 emissions story. But now instead of a bunch of cars like farting a little invisible smoke into the air all over the city, imagine that the city itself is a giant fire that's belching thick black smoke into the atmosphere.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's been fires forever, but just not fires this big. Like I said, this is the biggest in the history of California. So the idea is that we could face a future where there's a cycle of, you know, huge fires cause worse global warming, cause bigger fires, cause worse global warming.
Yeah, until, more droughts.
Yeah.
More fuel for the fire.
Right. It's caused by the fact that droughts and dry conditions and earlier summers and later summers just make everything into kindling until all of us look like the chimney sweeps in Oliver Twist just all the time, just soot smeared faces. But we were talking earlier, Danny Fernandez was in the office and she just came back from Arizona. And I've been to Arizona in the past, like when the environment hadn't gone crazy. And it's like you can't walk outside. And, like the sun is an aggressive assault on your like skin and face and eyeballs. And she was saying that her sister-in-law's car broke down because of the heat. Like it just the battery died.
From the heat?
From the heat.
Wow.
Yeah. And her brother's family, her brother and sister-in-law's family has run through two air conditioners in the past couple years because of how hard they're having to work. And so it just started me looking into like different ways that, you know, we've been building this world around us for, you know, all the buildings and homes and lives and machines that we've kind of developed were built for a different, less hot world. And right. So like, mm-hmm. there's just all these ways that different things are going to compound on each other. I mean, there was a heat wave in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago that knocked the power out for a lot of people, knocked my power out.
Yeah.
Knocked my air conditioning out.
The infrastructure, flights, apparently flights can't take off in air that is 120 degrees or hotter because the air particles in air that's that hot are too far apart and there's just like not the lift on the wings. Like,
Jesus.
It just doesn't work. Our planes were not designed for this future that we're headed towards. So
what's the solution, Jack?
Well,
how do we all stay cool?
We'll solve it after the break.
Oh, cool. We'll solve it during the break, right. And then we'll let y'all know how it goes.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, the evidence is so clearly in front of you, and you'd think that even the fossil fuel industry would, at the very least, be like, yeah, this is kind of fucked up. But they stand to lose too much money, and I think even with Trump trying to blame everything but the Earth for this situation, is just kind of fucked up. Because I don't know. I just don't know what to say, because living in California, this is always the thing. It's like there's fire season, but it just over time, over my life, it just started earlier and earlier and gotten worse and worse. And I mean, last year with the fires in like Ventura and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it's not just isolated to these like large swaths of wild, like wilderness where there's a bunch of foliage that's going to combust and things like that. It's like moving into places where people live and now, and it's just the evolution of it is very frightening. And yeah, to know that soon enough we're like in a world where like our planes can't cope with the
right.
heat.
Yeah.
And our car batteries are just dying because it's too like the atmospheric temperature.
I just never heard of that before. Batteries being too stressed by the heat.
Just sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, Trump, I like that Trump doesn't use the same argument he uses when it's cold, you know?
Right.
It's so cold out. Where's global warming when you need it?
Right.
And like, you know, that logic, whatever, that's not how global warming works.
Right.
But, you know, technically in that sense, why is he not talking about it now? Where it's like, it's so hot outside. I guess it's global warming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would be the same logic. But
his explanation is that environmentalists have made certain water off limits for putting the fires out. And what's caused. And it's like one of those arguments. It's the Gish Gallop that Andrew T., one of our guests, talks about, where people say something that's so stupid and have like 20 things wrong with it that it just exhausts you to point all of them out. Like,
totally.
People don't use water to put fires out really of this size.
Right.
This never happened. They have all the water they need, all these different things.
Yeah.
It's almost like not worth arguing at this point. It's
because the facts are fucking right there.
I know, and he knows it.
Right.
It's not about whether he knows it or not. He knows it.
Yeah, there was some article, or I don't know, maybe it was a comedian, somebody like was pointing out like probably eventually when it begins threatening golf course infrastructure is when he'll actually be like, oh, shit. What the fuck's going on? Like, it just killed the fairway.
Yeah.
He'll just build like an indoor space, though.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, and then blame immigrants.
The second coming is near.
Like, the fossil fuel companies were the first ones to know about this. They were studying it back in the 80s.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, shit, look
and
what's
they were
happening.
Literally just like, shut the fuck up about it.
Right. So they just figured out what their argument was going to be against it, or like a bunch of coping mechanisms to help them sleep at night. I think it's something to do with burying yourself under just giant piles of cash. And
yeah, it keeps insulated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how they get by. But yeah, we're not going to convince them of anything new when they knew about this like 10 years before anyone else. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back.
And we've solved it.
We did, but
charge them with crimes against humanity.
There you go.
That's how you do it.
Right. The Hague. Oh, I thought it was walk around with an ice pack on you.
That at too. All times. That's phase one.
Chemical ice packs.
Oh, we're thinking long term. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were just thinking today.
Yeah.
Well, do both, you know? Put an ice pack on and then let's drag these people to The Hague.
Right, right.
I wonder if clothes are gonna change. Like if we're gonna start wearing clothing.
Oh yeah.
Well, obviously we are because always clothing changes, but I wonder if it will adapt to that. Like I wonder if it already is, like the way that fitness casual or what's it called? Athleisure wear is like the new hot shit in Los Angeles. I wonder if that's because people are just like, yeah, I'm fucking sweating all the time anyways.
Well, and even like in Japan, like Uniqlo has a whole sort of sweat wicking version of office wear. Because it's so humid and hot that it's like to wear cotton would just, you'd soak your shirt. But they're like, nah,
get this air. How have you not told me about this before now?
Soak-free shirts? Soak-free.
They're like sort of like dry fit sort of material, but cut in like sort of your Oxford shirt or whatever. And they just kind of keep you breezy. Because, so in that way, like I think fabrics are changing too because the more people are fucking, you know, out here sweating.
Yeah.
Airism, is that what it's called? Thank you, Super Producer and Jose.
I sit across from the two of you sweating through my shirt every day. And this is the first time this came up.
They also have iron-free shirts there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where you don't have to iron it. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to start shopping at Uniqlo, I think is the message.
It's the wave. Fast fashion is the wave. It's always the wave.
Uniqlo. It's good. Sorry, that was mine. Uniqlo.
Thank you.
Uniqlo, it is good.
Courtesy of.
So, Miles, the blue wave, we've heard it's coming.
The
we heard
wave,
it's
going to
be a tsunami. We've heard it's not coming, and it was just going to be a ripple. So it looks like it might be real based on some returns from last night's elections.
The blue wave is not just a Japanese baseball team sponsored by Oryx, who Ichiro used to play for. That's an inside joke for me. Yes, so I guess, look, there were some primaries yesterday. There's a special election in Ohio that really fucking came down to the wire. I was watching the returns come in, biting my nails, because this is a district that has been solidly Republican since Reagan. I think it was the last time a Democrat held that seat. And Trump won this district in Ohio's 12th district by 11 points. Pat Tiberi, whose seat it was, would win by like 20 to 30 points some years. And fucking last night, Danny O'Connor took Balderson to the wire and I think lost by just around 1,600 votes or something like that.
Right.
But is about like less than 1% or about 1%, which is unheard of when you look at the history of this district. And that should make people very concerned, because if you're taking districts that have historically always been solidly Republican and now suddenly a Democrat is coming in and taking you to like within 1%, that means Democrats are fucking overperforming. And a lot of people are starting to look probably at their own representation being like, I don't think I like the way this brand of politics right now.
Right.
So it's it's a bad spot for the GOP because they had to spend like something like $5 million to keep this race competitive when normally this is like a safe seat, or what you'd call a safe seat, because right. you're like, we don't have to put resources in it because it does its own thing and we don't have to worry about that being a threat. But I think what we're seeing is because there's a lot of suburban precincts in this district too, that the Republicans, they're not appealing as much to suburban people as they may have like when in 2016, when people were just like, whatever, anyone but Hillary. Now they're like, oh, fuck, maybe this is not good.
Right.
And I think a lot of women have, especially who had voted for Trump, are starting to look at like his presidency and be like, yeah, they don't want to be near this.
Have they found like, has polling found actual shifts? Because my assumption was always that it was just young people who didn't vote kind of coming out and starting to vote now because of how horrifying the whole Trump thing is. But are they seeing that people who did vote for Trump are now going back to Democrats?
Well, I mean, I think just by when you look at the numbers that are right. and the people that are available, clearly from that universe of voters, there's somehow more people are skewing to the Democrats.
Right.
So I think just by virtue of the result, people are kind of being like, I prefer this candidate.
And now Balderson, is that his name?
Yep.
The Republican candidate, I mean, we've seen some special elections, even one in Alabama where the Republican vastly underperformed. Did Balderson have any like horrifying things like picking up on 12-year-old girls at the mall or anything?
Not really. I mean, he's like he's a Trumpy dude. Trump came through at the last minute and threw his weight behind him. So that helped to a certain extent, but I think Danny O'Connor, his sort of platform was just more he was just like, let's address the issues, like literally in Ohio. Yes, I'm a Democrat, but he also stayed away from bashing Trump, which is sort of like what Connor Lamb did in Pennsylvania. Like a lot of these people who have been in really solidly Republican districts, they try and, if they're Democrats, they don't want to jump on the beat the Trump, you know, till it's dead band. Like, you know, that's just not rhetorically what they need for their platform, because it sort of turns off those voters.
Right,
but if they
just
sort of keep it issue based of like, yeah, what about your healthcare and things like that?
Yeah.
People are much more open.
Right. Right. Because people, there is still a culture war being fought. And if you just manage to stay out of that stream, then you're going to be in better shape than if you, you know, take a side in it. And then there was also a primary in Kansas, where Kris Kobach won the gubernatorial primary for the Republicans.
Well, it hasn't totally been decided.
Okay.
So this is like the margin of victory for him is less than 200 votes. And it was between him. So Kris Kobach is like the same dude who like started that whole fake voter commission, which is just a circus just to try and like perpetuate these weird conspiracies about all these weird, you know, voting irregularities. And
what did he come up with on that?
Nothing. And he was like getting owned by judges who were like literally one judge when he was arguing something in court was like, you should go read a textbook about like procedural law before you come back in here. And like was just ran out on a rail. But he is the Secretary of State for Kansas. So that means election results are under his, purview basically. So if there is a recount, he could basically be overseeing, which would be very interesting. But I think the thing with this race that's interesting is that Kris Kobach is the Trumpian dude.
Right.
You know, he's the Trump Republican. And then he ran against Jeff Collier, who is not fully aligned with Trump, but got like the sign off of Bob Dole, who is like Mr. Kansas Republican.
Right. And he's super hot right now.
Yeah, Bob Dole.
Everybody's Dole's name is on the tip of everyone's tongue.
100%. To be honest, I thought he had passed away. And I when I saw that he had endorsed him, I was like, oh shit, Bob Dole is still alive.
Yeah.
He's Although back. He does look like a corpse with makeup on.
Yeah.
So I think you're starting to see there's a little bit of a fracturing going on, because even with Republicans, the guy who isn't a Trump Republican took the Trump guy down to the wire. And who knows? I mean, if this goes to a recount or whatever, or they count all the provisional ballots and he wins, that would also be interesting, because in the end, they were like, I remember this version of the party when it was Bob Dole, and prefer that than to this, you know, this new brand.
Yeah.
No. Something's in the water.
Yeah.
And it's the blue wave.
There you go.
Although a lot of people yesterday were like, especially on Twitter, when I was just going through MAGA Twitter, as I like to do on election nights.
Yeah, that's good for you. It's good for your heart health.
To know what kind of Kool-Aid they're sipping over there.
Yeah. And it gets your heart rate above 120, which
no,
is
no, a, I don't let that affect out. Me. I've found a way to go to like a very zen place.
You're way cooler than me.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just can't. Otherwise, I'll be a mess, because I'm naturally a worrier. A warrior of worrying, as I like to say.
Wow.
But yeah, like now.
An anxiety warrior.
I'm an anxiety warrior.
Beast mode. Anxiety.
Beast mode.
Beast mode warrior. But yeah, when I looked, they're all like, yeah, man, look at Balderson. He's like, Ohio, man, the red tsunami's coming. And you're like, hold on.
Just let them believe that
I know,
shit.
But in my mind, I'm like, wow, like, y'all really thought y'all were the underdog? This was not supposed to be that close. That would imagine, like, if a district somewhere in LA came down and a Republican barely or a Democrat won by like 1%, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
It's just so it's just not the norm for that area. So again, but you know, like conspiracy theories like QAnon, you got to try and just shift reality to be like, no, this is a good thing.
Right.
It means there's a red tsunami, but I
yeah,
don't
yeah.
know. There's no fucking polling
Please
to support
believe
that.
That.
Right.
Yeah, stay at home. Stay at home.
The Drudge Report this morning had, you know, Republicans hold seat with like people cheering on as their like main story. And now they've shifted, because that apparently wasn't holding water. They've shifted to Green Party space alien thwarts Dems, because apparently there was a Green Party candidate who got like 1,100 votes and would have swung the election in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
If all those people had voted for Democrats, which... there's no guarantee that 1,100 people who vote for a guy who thinks he's an alien are going to go out and vote for a Democrat. But the Kobach thing is interesting. I heard 538 bring that race up, because Collier, the Republican who's like the Bob Dole Republican, when you do polling with him versus the Democratic candidate, he is up by a significant percentage. But when you do Kobach, the crazy Trumpian guy, it's basically a dead heat with the Democrats. So I think Democrats are probably pulling for Kobach to pull this one out.
Yeah.
And then Michigan also had a pretty significant race, right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on there too. So Rashida Tlaib, she won the Democratic primary for the 13th congressional district, which was John Conyers' old seat that he left. She's going to run unopposed. I don't think there's going to be a Republican running against her in November, which would make her the first Muslim woman to serve in Congress.
Yes.
And just ladies all around the country were doing it, like in all kinds of primaries and things like that. Representation has shot up exponentially for women candidates for Congress and other offices. Mm-hmm. So very good to see. Michigan is also, I think they're probably looking at having a nearly all female ticket for the Democratic side come November. And, you know, I think Debbie Stabenow, she won her primary, and then Gretchen Whitmer won for the gubernatorial race. But that one is interesting because like the Washington Post and other like sort of establishment Dem sort of thinking places were kind of like, man, the fact that Abdul El-Sayed lost, who was backed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, they're like, oh, I mean, the fact that he lost to Whitmer means it looks like they've hit a wall. That progressive wing has totally hit a wall. So, man, like better go back to center. But when you look at the platform that she ran on, she was running on a like Medicaid expansion, marijuana legalization, LGBT civil rights, like banning the box, which means like if you're applying for a job, like if you have to disclose when you're applying for a job, like if you've been convicted of a crime, because that leads to recidivism. You know what I mean? Like just trying to get people jobs and things like that. And like funding Planned Parenthood, a $15 minimum wage, universal preschool. So if this is a centrist Democrat,
Yeah.
My goodness, then like the old guard needs to take a look at themselves and be like, okay, well, clearly the shift has moved to the left.
Right. Running against more progressive candidates always shifts the centrist candidates more to the left.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, you know, if you're a progressive, you're happy to see happening whether they win the race or not. It's shifting the overall platform a little bit to the left.
And I think it's the same thing that happened with the Tea Party and the Republicans.
Right.
You know, they've just took them further and further right. And now they're like the party of like rural Americans who have like aren't really completely disconnected with the reality. So
there are these three dudes who are Mar-a-Lago members, just happen to be Mar-a-Lago members. You know, there's nothing significant about that fact. One of them is Ike Perlmutter, the extremely secretive Marvel Entertainment chairman. There's a doctor, Palm Beach doctor, Bruce Moskowitz, and a lawyer named Mark Sherman. And none of them are U.S. military veterans. None of them have experience as government officials.
Oh, okay.
But they are, ProPublica unearthed like hundreds of documents showing that these guys are basically running the VA department, like for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golf bros.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So this is something that our writer JM had written about a couple weeks ago to keep an eye on is just that we should all probably be concerned about Trump's golf game. Like, this is something that gets trotted out. You know, every time Obama would golf, people on Fox News would be like, look, he's golfing while, you know, mothers are working three jobs a day and he doesn't care about you. And, you know, lots of presidents golf. I think it's a prerequisite, actually.
I know.
For yeah, what the seriously, fuck is with that?
Name me a president who didn't golf.
Right.
Listen to something else.
FDR.
Oh,
he was in the chair, though.
Oh, man, Miles.
Well, I'm just being real. You know what I mean? You know?
No, for sure. Yeah.
There could, but who knows? Probably in his younger days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was sport of stash.
Yeah, no, that guy was lazy. but I mean, Trump golfs a lot, golfs more than most presidents. I mean, any excuse to wear those flattering khakis and white
high
polo
pants.
Shirts. That,
yeah,
he looks good. but so we don't know who Trump has been playing golf with. And as the Washington Post has pointed out, you know, he's golfed with a lot of people who have then just had these huge deals like go in their direction, or, you know, they think that he's golfed with these people, but it's like completely off limits and you can't like photograph him really while golfing. And
right.
It's just, you know, there's all these sorts of handshake deals that are going on behind the scenes that. I think they said on 81 of the 111 days Trump is suspected to have played golf since becoming president, we don't know who he was playing with at all. And like,
right,
it seems
one
like
was
playing
like
golf with him is a way to run the VA, for instance.
Like, it was like the prime minister of Malaysia or something. Like, Elliot Broidy connected them. Like, hey, like he was Elliot Broidy, who used to be a fundraiser for the RNC and then had an affair with a playmate. And then possibly paid for an abortion. It was like all this whole other scandal that we know about as one of Michael Cohen's clients. They were saying that Broidy was trying to get his White House ties to like secure a very lucrative contract with like the Malaysian government, because Broidy had like a defense company and was sort of being like, yo, I can get you on the links with President Trump. And lo and behold, they like, it's not sure what happened, but they did meet. And it looks like, that Mar-a-Lago is sort of like the venue for a lot of this informal
meetings.
Power sharing and whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Power sales.
Yeah.
They say at least five administration appointees were members of Trump clubs, which could potentially mean that more potential appointees are meeting with Trump through golf. So I don't know. It's just, I think he recently decided his Supreme Court pick at his New Jersey golf club.
Right.
And those are like some of the dates on which we don't know who he was playing with. Maybe he like had them golf for it. Like the different nominees.
All right, Kavanaugh, go.
Do we know if he's good at it? Like, could he make deals that way if he wanted? If he's like, okay, hole in one for me.
I think he's decent, but I also know from people who golf and have like golfed with people who have golfed with him that he cheats like mercilessly.
Okay.
Like he Like, that's a weird thing to do, is cheat at golf. Like, yeah. There's, like, sort of an honor system that, like, oh, we're all doing this for fun. But, like, you wouldn't cheat because that's
pointless.
Because
it's not, like, an adrenaline, game. You're but supposed to leisurely focused. Talk and walk.
Yeah. No, he cheats. He, like, will just, like, throw the ball onto the fairway and be like, oh, there it is.
Oh, my God. And then no one's just like, I guess this is what it's like playing with Donald. But I feel like golf, too, like, you want to feel that you're getting better. So why cheat yourself at being like, oh, yeah, I shot a 72.
Yo, it's a shell game he's playing
it's
with himself.
It's very dictatory. Yeah, you know, like to be like, okay, this is my game. Nobody else wins. But if you try to win, you'll get shot kind of thing.
Right. Or I'll just cheat so crazy. Like, I'm just going to throw the ball like onto the green, the putting green, and be like, you saw that.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Shot an 18.
Shot an 18.
Nothing but holes in one.
Shot an MS-13.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back.
Oh, I'm sorry. My hips don't lie.
We were just reminiscing about
Shakira.
Shaq. The only Shaq in my book.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
His Shakira. Hips don't lie.
His hips don't
the
lie.
Lebanese Colombian sensation.
So, guys, the Oscars have been listening to the criticism, and they have decided to cut the program down to 3 hours, and they've decided to add a new category, and it's just the category they've added is so stupid and wrong-headed.
Yeah.
It's like, so one of the criticisms is like, well, nobody went to see these movies. These aren't like the most popular movies that are being nominated for Best Picture. So, you know, why would we watch the show? And I guess they do get higher ratings when like they nominate Lord of the Rings or whatever. So they have added a new category that they are calling Most Popular Movie.
Yeah. They used very flowery language. Outstanding achievement in popular film, which just means the most popular shit. And we still don't know what the eligibility requirements are, or like how you determine, like how they would determine that. Because at that point, is that something you vote on? Like you would think you to gauge the popularity, like there are very measurable things like the box office receipts and things
like
that.
Unless it's just that, like numbers of attendees.
Right. Or like Twitter mentions.
Yeah, or retweets of the movie title or something.
It's such a weird thing. And I know, like, I remember when Dark Knight came out, people were like, man, that should have won something.
Right.
You know, that movie was too good.
It did. Best supporting actor, which is what it deserved to win.
Right, but I think there are other people who just felt like it wasn't considered for anything else because it's a Batman movie or whatever. And whatever. You know, I don't...
That's fine.
These awards are whatever they are, but they don't affect my life in any fucking way aside from it's some shit to do on a Sunday in March usually, right?
Yeah, March, yeah.
And now, like...
Now, for 3 hours.
For 3 hours. And then they're not even going to... The other part of it is cutting it down means that they're not going to show some of the other awards being given out live, which is... You know, I don't mind... The length of time was never a problem, but I don't know. I live in L.A. I don't know if... It seems like a thing. People in L.A. are like, yeah, we're going to watch the Oscars. But I feel like people around the country have Oscar viewing parties or whatever.
Yeah.
But the whole idea...
They like to see.
Yeah.
There are some categories I feel like we could speed through maybe in the middle of the program.
I love best sound mixing.
Well, I also, right, exactly. There's two sound mixing categories, sound editing, sound mixing, or whatever, sound design, that only a very select few people know the difference between. Like, you can
get rid of one of those.
Yeah, or combine them and just do it like at the same time.
But who cares? It's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. You know what I mean? So like, get everybody.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you're gonna add a category to, you know, improve the watchability, like what about like best special effect, best stunt, best casting? They don't even have best casting, which I think would be a fun award because then you could show like, what if this character had been played by Ben Affleck? Like, you know, just how better the casting.
Yeah, or like makes a movie. Motion capture or other things. There's so many other dimensions of filmmaking now that like probably should get it. Yeah, I think stunt work is one that we're seeing more, like especially with popularity of movies like John Wick.
Right.
And what those directors have done being stuntmen and like really wanting to make a film that like really showcased how good stunt work can be.
Yeah.
Like, yo.
Finding out how they do special effects is like usually really interesting. Like a lot of the time it's like a in-camera trick that is just, it's basically like a magic trick. Like most of Lord of the Rings was not shot with like computers. It was shot by like placing actors further behind other actors who were supposed to be like taller than them and playing with perspective and shit.
Which is, you know, a good lead into best actor who had to pretend that was a real person that we're talking to.
Right, you know, there you go.
Exactly. Maybe they should just redo the whole thing and keep it on like a high school like yearbook, you know, like best dressed. Since we're doing most popular, best dressed.
Right.
Most likely to succeed. What an honor that would be to get an Oscars for.
Yeah, most likely.
Even though we know the results.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or maybe a film that's supposed to come out that gets that award, most likely to succeed.
Right, preemptively, they're like, we're really excited about this movie.
Oh, yeah. Best, totally.
Most exciting coming attraction. I would be into that.
It's called the Leap of Faith Award.
Right. The Leap of Faith, yeah, totally.
But, like, we already reward the most popular movies. It's the one.
Fucking
the
money.
Yeah. No. It's what the money's for, you guys.
Yeah.
In the words of Don Draper. And me anytime Miles complains about having to mop another blood stain.
Well, it's
that's
getting
what the
too
money's
much.
For.
I told you blood freaks me out.
Speaking of Oscar winning movies, guys, Mighty Ducks. Everybody remembers the beloved Goldberg.
The keeper, goalie. I'm sorry. I used to play hockey, shame on me. The goaltender.
He had the knuckle puck, isn't that? Was that his shot?
I thought that was Keenan.
Okay.
Who shot
Keenan
the knuckle
had the
puck.
Knuckle puck, that's right. Goldberg was the keeper. He was one of the more likable characters. And the actor who plays him is a gentleman named Sean Weiss.
Yeah.
And, oh, man. So yeah, this is we went deep on this yesterday. So there's an image that's out there. It's a mugshot of him from the past week or so. And he looks like a 65-year-old man.
Yeah, because he was arrested, like one of three men that were arrested because they were, like, the cops got a call about men behaving erratically with flashlights.
Yes.
And they pulled
the
up.
The most methy shit ever.
Yeah, like, they were pulling up, and they were like, oh, yeah, these guys are drunk or high, and they took him to the station, and then they were like, one of the officers like comment is like that one guy was really witty or whatever, really right. witty. And then when it turns out like it was Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks, and my goodness, this image of how much he has aged, which because clearly like he's struggling with substance abuse, is will shake you to your core, especially right. like if you remember Heavyweights and all those movies.
Yeah,
he has aged so rapidly. I don't know.
If you just there's one comparison that we'll put in the footnotes footnotes. Is him from 2015 and then the mugshot next to one another.
Yeah.
And it is, as Miles said yesterday, it looks like he looked at the Ark of the Covenant for like 3 seconds,
maybe a little less away. Just a
yeah.
quick second and
yeah.
took the life out of his face.
It really Jeez. Is incredible. It's like the worst viral marketing for meth ever. This image.
It's just a tough thing, man. You know, like so many, and again, you see this so much with child actors,
right?
Especially too, like they fall into substance abuse. Even one of my friends who was a child actor, man, he struggled for his entire life with this shit, and eventually passed away. But like, it's really tragic, man, to see stuff like this because Mighty Ducks, Heavyweights, I loved him as a kid, and like right. you can only imagine what this guy's career was like, because then we started going through the IMDb and we saw like it was getting a little light after like mm-hmm. Heavyweights, then he was doing more
like
supporting
short films.
Roles. Uh-huh. Yeah, and like short film, the last credit was like a sketch on Funny or Die, which they called a short film, and it's really bad.
Where he's like about 12 degrees better at acting than anyone else in the sketch.
And that's not saying much.
It's not saying much, but he, you can tell like he's on his way towards, it's like a in between the 2015 shot and what we see in the mugshot. But
yeah,
it seems like, you know, he's had the life taken out of him.
It is good to know that they remembered him. They said there was one wittier person.
Right.
And it was him. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
He has.
That could be an Academy
if he has
Award.
Wits,
yeah.
What? At least he had his wits.
Yeah, at least he had his wits.
That award.
Or yeah. most charisma.
Most charisma most, during yeah. an arrest.
The sweetest person.
Best performance by someone playing themselves, sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
So you get, like, right. Tom Cruise would win that a lot of the time just because
yeah.
he's always the same dude. He's just he like this energetic same. Motherfucker.
Even in the Valkyrie, did he just talk with his regular Tom
I think
Cruise?
So.
Voice, yeah. And he's like a Nazi. Germany trying to kill Hitler.
I think they did the Hunt for Red October thing where they just like at a certain point they're like, and we're gonna speak English. We hope you're okay with that.
Oh, right. They're like,
but
you don't understand German.
But they didn't even do like accents. They just
right.
were straight up like, hey, what's up? I'm German.
Hey, I'm German. Let's kill this
yeah.
Hitler bloke.
It's like in Ghost in the Shell when people talk to her in Japanese and she speaks back in English. It
right,
was great.
Right.
Yeah. Even though she still had a Japanese brain. Everything's great.
Yeah. That's like me. When speaking Japanese, I answer in English.
Yeah. So
Sorry,
I don't know.
Sorry, I just had
we've
to
talked,
put that in there.
But, we've talked
know, I'm
about
glad he's still witty. And here's to, recovery.
Yes, recovery. It's
yeah.
possible, guys.
Yeah.
First of all, this is a good reminder that, things can get away from you pretty quickly. And there was actually a Paul Ryan interview on The Daily today where they talked about his dad was an alcoholic. And Paul Ryan said he started drinking when Paul Ryan was 12 and was dead by 16. And like,
wow.
That's just an example of like, yeah, sometimes you have it under control for your whole life and then suddenly it just gets out of hand really quickly. And
yeah.
mm-hmm. I mean, you just need to, it's very isolating. You know, addiction, and you just need to be willing to like talk to somebody about it.
Yeah, right. and don't be afraid to ask for the help too, man. Because there's so many times people just have the shame of it, but really, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Some people are just wired differently, and this addiction illness can take a hold of you, and you need help.
Right.
And we need help, and we need to be open to people. And again, like that's why I kind of feel bad even talking shit about Goldberg looking like shit. because this man is struggling.
Yeah.
And you'd hope that he has some kind of support system around him, because clearly, like, when you look at some of those IMDb roles, it was like bottom feeding, like, LA types who are just sort of like, oh, we got Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks in our sketch. Right. And it wasn't, you know, I'm my heart goes out to you, Sean Weiss.
It could be worse. He could be completely sober and be Donald Trump.
Right,
and
that's true.
Be president. That's true. And, you know, tweeting every
At least he still has his humanity, according to the police.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Like, Donald Trump is completely sober.
Right. Just a
Or is he, though? Well, he's probably taking, like, uppers or something.
Right. He just never touched alcohol. But
right.
Who knows?
Or whatever a doctor prescribes him isn't a drug.
Right.
Sure.
Elvis was the same way. Elvis was completely against illegal drugs and, like, was not a big drinker. But, man,
like pills.
Did he take enough pills to kill him?
What was he, like, on uppers?
Yeah, just he had a doctor like Michael Jackson did who just prescribed him whatever the fuck he wanted. And so he took all of them.
But were they, like, was he into, like, downers or uppers?
I think both.
Oh, ooh. Okay.
And up, PBM, up, down, down, and left, right, left, right.
BA
and
starts
PB
select.
And banana sandwiches.
Yes, and that
whereas
too.
For, I mean, diet works. You know, I think it's important to consider diet, too.
Yeah.
Trump
whatever
eats
you're putting
just
in
the
your
protein
could be
part
the gluten.
Of the burger right. from McDonald's.
Could be the gluten that killed Elvis. So,
I know.
Didn't he have, curious. Like, an impacted shit or something?
Who?
Like a huge turd in his
yeah,
body?
Yeah, like a 30-pound.
Oh, man.
30-pounder. Worming its way through. I don't know.
I wonder if gluten has anything to do with that.
I have a quick question. Wait, the interview Paul Ryan, was that him just talking about his childhood? And then was that him explaining himself?
It was interesting. So the theory that the New York Times reporter was giving is that as the child of an alcoholic, they're usually accommodating. That's like a stereotype of people who are like go to Al-Anon and stuff. They're avoidant, conflict avoidant, and they've built their whole personality around dealing with erratic people.
Uh-huh.
And so for him to then have his career taken over by dealing with this guy who, for all intents and purposes, is like a loose cannon, blackout drunk. He just isn't drunk when he behaves that way.
Right.
Like that he and also Paul Ryan was very, you know, didn't stand up and say anything, and that was
right.
sort of the pop psychoanalysis in the piece.
Interesting.
It was pretty interesting.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he could also just be a fucking spineless evil fuck too.
There's that
don't have
too.
To bring in his
right.
childhood into it. He
yeah.
could just be wired because, you know, he's always had the fantasy of kneecapping the safety net for, you know, poor people. So
yeah, he around the keg at frat parties, he and his homies would talk about ending Social Security. So. That is Paul Ryan. So, guys, real quick, we wanted to talk about the Mamma Mia universe. The sequel to the original Mamma Mia, the ABBA musical that takes place in Greece, it hit number two, but it was a very close number two when it came out and behind the Equalizer 2. And people are excited about this movie. Meryl Streep has died in between the first one and the sequel. Because Meryl Streep just straight up does not do sequels.
Oh, really?
But they've got Cher to come in, and Cher is, in this movie, Meryl Streep's mother. Even though it's like
But she wasn't there in the first one?
She was not in the first one. And in fact, they referred to her as possibly being dead. So our writer, J.M. McNabb, put together this theory that this movie takes place in purgatory. And actually, I don't know if he put it together. I think it might have been on the AV Club. But so the AV Club put together this theory that basically time doesn't make sense in this movie. People are showing up at all different times in their existence.
Okay.
So Sophie in the first movie is the main character. And the first movie, based on like things that are said in the movie, must have taken place in 2000. And then they say that this movie takes place 5 years after the first movie. So it's 2005, and her mother has died. Her grandmother's there, but her grandmother is only 5 years older than her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And also, everybody has iPhones and iPads, which wasn't
in 2000?
In 2005.
Oh.
So it's presumably they're just not paying attention to details like that.
Right,
but
of course.
Because it's like this Greek island that is almost the surreal environment, it could be read as they are all in purgatory, like lost, you know, they're all got in a plane crash or something and are all like in this in between. And Meryl Streep had a breakthrough in between, and she moved on out of the afterlife, out of purgatory, onto whatever
shit.
Her next plane of existence is.
So Cher is basically fucking up.
Right.
Because she can't
Cher
get
got
out of
sent
she's
down.
Stuck. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Cher outlived all the rest of her family and
right,
just
and she
now
pulled up to the party and was like, oh, where my daughter at? Oh, she got out? Right. Damn. I'm going to see her. All right. Well, this island's cool.
Right.
Here we go again.
That's deep. Yeah. How's the plot, though? I'm just kidding. So I'm glad it's a metaphor for purgatory.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Are you an ABBA fan?
I mean, I know the songs. I didn't watch the first one. But I was, like I was telling you, I watched the trailer. I just haven't really followed with Mamma Mia! Exclamation point. And it's two, right?
Yeah.
well, but all I know is that I was, you know, I first heard about it when I was watching, about to go watch the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Uh-huh.
And the trailers were playing and it was like blind spotting trailer happened first, you know, boom, black guy gets shot. And
right.
It's like, whoa, it's a deep movie. Oakland, it's about, you know, white best friend who's, you know, kind of like trying to be a wankster or whatever, a gangster.
No, wanksters.
Yeah, I didn't want to use the other word because I don't know. And then suddenly it's Mamma Mia. the trailer to Mamma Mia came up.
Right.
And they were like, but some of us get to live like this. You know,
right,
it
was right,
very
right.
Different shift in tone.
Right, yeah.
But
like, this is Oakland to, we're on a weird disco island.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe it did feel a little bit like the purgatory thing kind of makes sense, at least even in that shift in tone and also watching. I don't know. It's about a wedding and a daughter tries to, she doesn't know who her dad is.
Right. I think that was the plot of the first one.
Oh, that's the plot of the first one.
Actually, apparently Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which is the subtitle
right,
of this
right.
one, does end with a police shooting. So, no.
Oh, good.
but where? Andy Garcia has, in interviews, said, hinted he shows up as Cher's love interest and hinted that his character may have been Meryl Streep's father. Andy Garcia is 7 years younger than Meryl Streep. So it's just like this universe makes no sense.
And he's getting messy. He's right. like, I may have been.
It sounds
her
like
dad.
Everything's actually revolving around Meryl Streep's schedule.
Right.
Right, right, right.
Actually, yeah, that is purgatory. I don't
right.
know.
Yeah. Anyways, Atsuko, it's been so fun having you. Where can people find you, follow you?
People can find me at Atsuko Comedy on the platforms. My website, my entire name, atsukookatsuka.com, or just find me at Atsuko Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have a tweet or anything from social media that you've been enjoying of late?
Well, this morning I woke up to Awkwafina crying out of joy about Crazy Rich Asians, which made me happy.
Is she
in it?
She's in it.
Dope.
Yeah. She's she's like an auntie in it. And
nice.
She has a wig on. It's like, you can tell it's a wig, but she looks just like my aunt. And I don't know if my aunt wears a wig, but yeah, it's, that made me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First, are you excited for that movie?
I am. At first, I was like, well, you know, I don't know. At first, I made the joke that, like, okay, Crazy Rich Asians, yay, representation. But I'm more excited about the sequel, you know, Asians I Can Relate To. Because it's about, like, the richest man in Singapore.
Again. Right,
right.
I don't know what that feels like.
Right.
But, you know, it is the first Asian-American-focused film to come out from a big studio in 25
yeah.
years. So
right.
it means a lot to people.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're, you know, exciting. like everything you named, right? With like Rashida Tlaib
mm-hmm.
being we're still seeing the firsts of everything
yeah.
in 2018.
Right.
So it's like, calm down. People are like, they're going to take over. It's like, no, we just literally, Tiffany Haddish was the first black female comedian to host SNL.
Right,
Isn't
right,
Isn't that
right.
crazy? I
yeah.
always thought there was more.
No, yeah.
But then we're still seeing the firsts.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yeah, maybe the sequel will just be about, you know, growing up with like Asian moms who don't have a microwave and won't buy one.
Yeah.
And then you're embarrassed to have your friends over because you're like, wait, how do we have microwave popcorn? And I got to be like, my mom is different in Japan and whatever.
Yeah. Maybe that's fresh off the boat.
Yeah, right.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And what is a tweet that I'm liking? Okay, this one is from The Onion because they just relate to my life all the time. And this one says, man races against time to take out trash bag with widening puncture. Because, oh, man, my God, I am the fucking king of taking the wild torn bag out the can and right. like running as fast as I can without getting garbage juice on the floor.
Right.
Because I don't know why I still do it, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know it's a bad situation, but in my mind, I still have the confidence that, like, somehow I can hold the bag in a way that all this, you know,
right.
nasty shit will
can't put this back in the trash can, so I'm yeah, going right. to and then just drag it across the floor.
Yeah, drip trail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
garbage juice.
Very, very
also
relatable.
A good juice spot.
Garbage juice. Yeah.
One of my favorites.
I think they call that Jamba Juice.
At Dan Mentos tweeted, hey, Siri, do they still make grape nuts? Siri. Jesus Christ, go to sleep. and Bridget Greenberg, a hilarious young comic from Cracked, tweeted, can't decide if I'm depressed or just genuinely don't have an opinion on bird scooters. So relating back to what we talked about yesterday. You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and also our footnotes, which will also be posted in the description of this episode on
yeah.
whatever you're listening to it on. Just click the info button. You will see links off to the information that we talked about on today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles,
oh,
what's that going to be?
Shit. Yes. Okay, let's play this track from Charlotte Dos Santos, who is a Norwegian-Brazilian jazz singer. And she's, I think, she's like 27 or 28, but her fucking vibe is so old school and throwback that, like, my goodness, you put this on, I don't drink wine, but it made me want to drink a glass of wine.
Mm.
Normally, I would just smoke a blunt, but this works in that fashion, too. So, however you want to get it in, this song, Charlotte Dos Santos, is called Watching You. So, yeah, and the album is called Cleo. I can't recommend the album enough, too. She is, it's amazing when you hear albums that, like, when I first heard it, I was like, damn, how come I didn't hear of this artist from the 70s or whatever? And then I look, I'm like, oh, it's someone younger than me who's just crushing that style. So
wow,
it's always nice
girl.
To hear that jazz, neo, soul kind of thing. So shout out to you, Charlotte. And yeah, peep this track.
All right, so I guess we won't ride out on Dave Matthews Band on his national holiday.
What do you want to do? So much to say? I love that one.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
Bye. The way you're lying there so quiet and restless. You're sleeping. Should I wake you up? I better not. Just the way you smell it. It's so nice.
see. Don't want you to know, don't want you to hear what I'm thinking of while you're in the train. Float off the sun like the river,
like where the nightingale
keeps singing. Don't you wake up,
dreams,
you're dreaming, peaceful on your pillow.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.